Welcome to the Lavo Show podcast. Conversations with outstanding human beings whose love has been inspired and transformed by Osho. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Hello and thanks for tuning in. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Today our guest is Swami Prem Oscar. Oscar took sannyas in 1980 and is a body worker, filmmaker, photographer, and safari conductor. Oscar lives near Nairobi National Park in Kenya and offers wildlife adventures and safaris. I'm so happy to have Oscar on the show and I hope you enjoyed. Oscar, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And it's exciting to be talking to you and presumably many other sannyasins.
So, to start, tell us a little bit about how you came across Osho.
I had some friends here, some Indians who I liked, and they were sannyasins, and I think they told me about him, and I just jumped on an aeroplane and came to Pune.
So, which year was that?
Well, so in 1980, I guess, and I was really looking around for something. I'd been a premie with Guru Maharaji, which was kind of boring. And then I just took off. I thought that sounds great, and I came to India. I'd been in India before traveling, so I just came on the same trip.
And what was about Osho that made you kind of stay with him and not looking for anyone else?
You know what I've just remembered? What I've just told you is not correct. I was photographing a Sadhu festival in India, and when it was finished, that's when I came down to Pune, and I was dressed as a Sadhu when I came, and they let me in, and I sat right in the front row. And the second day they caught me and said, "You can't do that." So then I became a sannyasin.
What do you mean you can't do that?
They said I couldn't sit in the front. I had to sit in the back. The front seats were reserved.
I see. Okay. Do you remember the first time you met Osho? How was for you?
I remember just being awestruck, just watching and absorbing the man and also listening to what he said. And I loved that he interspersed everything with his jokes. It really turned me on.
I understand that as a young man, you were part of a gang and you were quite aggressive. And I'm wondering, how did that change after you took sannyas and you started doing Osho meditation, and how meeting Osho helped you in changing and becoming the man you are today?
Well, I dropped being in that gang long before I went to Osho. I realized it just wasn't right, and my heart was really wanting to be at peace with people. And, you know, I lived in Kenya and there were all these young white boys around who were quite aggressive. And I used to make explosives and blow up keep left signs and school mirrors and things like that. And I just dropped it all. I stopped doing that. Then I started meditating. As I said, I went with Guru Maharaji, which didn't seem right. And then I was traveling around India. I actually went overland from England and around India, and then I went down to Pune.
Okay, so when you came to Osho, you already kind of worked on that. So is there anything else that changed emotionally in terms of, aggression, anger, or some other strong emotions that you carried inside that changed through the practicing Osho meditations?
Well, I was obviously wasn't overtly aggressive, and I did lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of groups, and that really helped. And what I realized, and what I realize now, is that I was looking to just live joyfully, and I'm happy to say that everything has resulted in me living quite joyfully. And also, I live alone out in the bush, and I'm quite happy with that. That's something which I blame Osho for, and people should be careful. They might be heading to just living on their own, because, you know, I love myself, and that's all really one needs.
Well, that's actually very timely because now we are all living in a lockdown. Perhaps you've already been living in this fashion for a while. That sounds like you live in isolation, but the rest of the world is following suit because of the coronavirus. Everyone now is kind of forced to stay at home, and obviously many people are on their own. So perhaps, being a meditator can be helpful to face this situation. So how is for you to live in isolation?
Well, I'll go back a little. I live out here alone, so I've hardly noticed anything. Kenya doesn't have lockdown yet, but I'm thinking I need to go to the shops, which are about 15 kilometers away, and do some shopping before they do. And basically, life's just been the same for me out here. I have some staff, I have some security guards, and we don't shake hands, we bump elbows. And the local Maasai chief's a very good friend of mine, and I went to see him today, and we bumped elbows. And for me, life's going on pretty much as it was before.
Is there any sannyasins or are there any people interested in meditation or any other spiritual interests in your area that you can connect with, or you're mainly basically on your own all the time?
I'm basically on my own, and I spent years setting up meditations. I used to do them regularly. Well, I lived in Langata, which is a sort of upper-class suburb of Nairobi, and I used to have regular meditations and groups and workshops, and they sort of slowly kind of died out. And when I came out here, I thought that many people would like to come out here and just be out here in the bush. As I said, it's not really the bush. We're just on the other side of Nairobi Park. It's about an hour and a half drive from Nairobi, and it's very beautiful. And almost nobody has come. So I'm just happy to be on my own. That's where I'm at.
Okay, fair enough. And obviously, I know that you're quite active in terms of wildlife and safaris, and we will talk about that. But before, I think I want to ask you something about a very big event that happened just over 10 years ago. In 2008, you had a dramatic accident. You were piloting a small aircraft in Kenya when it crashed. And despite serious injuries, you miraculously survived. We can say that you almost literally came back from the dead. So this event changed you outwardly because of all the injuries that you suffered. But I'm wondering, how did that change you, your inner world?
Yeah, I had this really very bad accident. I was coming into land on a bush strip, and I was going at stalling speed, and the engine just failed. And because I was already at stalling speed, I just went straight into the ground. And I was unconscious for over a month. You can hear my voice is rough. This is all those years later. I couldn't make any noise for several years, and then I was just croaking. So I'm coming back from it, and basically, I'm knowing Osho and knowing meditation, I think, helped me really a lot. And I just went into myself. As I said, I was running all these groups and things before, and I just lost energy for them as well. You know, I was in a broken body. The hospital, the doctors said I would be paralyzed all my life, and they were really amazed when I regained consciousness. And I wasn't paralyzed. And about a week after I regained consciousness, I called a friend and I just checked myself out of hospital. And they were saying, no, you can't leave. You can't leave. You have to stay here. And I said, goodbye. I can look after myself. And I did. So I'm fine. I'm well. I'm better than they thought. I'm better than I thought. And I think Osho really helped me just to be in myself, in my body, with all the mix and the mess up. And I think he or the meditation really helped me get my body back together.
That's amazing. And, you know, sometimes there are stories where doctors, you know, give you these final sentences almost where they say, you know, you never walk again or you will never recover. And then people just don't take it and they recover. And definitely that's your case. So you just didn't take that as a final word of the doctor.
Absolutely not. My father was a famous doctor, a veterinary doctor, but he did people as well. So I'm used to how doctors talk.
Okay. And I would imagine that you had a limited mobility during your recovery time. So is there any particular technique, meditation technique, that was most helpful?
Oh, I tried quite a few. I couldn't do dynamic or kundalini. But I just meditated and practiced going through my body. And with my mind, I would go to the actual hurt parts and like stroke them and encourage them. And I was in a meditative frame of mind. I didn't do specific active meditations.
Yeah, I can imagine that. And how are you now? Where are you at in the stage of this recovery?
Well, I'm pretty good. I'm much better than anyone expected. And I'm almost completely healed. I just, a couple of months ago, I had an operation on my right leg where I had an ulcer which just wasn't healing and wasn't healing and wasn't healing. And they tried everything and apparently it or me is resistant to all antibiotics, so they just cut it off, and it's healed now. It's very good. But my left leg, I have an injury just below my knee, and they said that there is an ulcer there which has kept going. It's all, what is it now, 8 or 9 years or longer even. And they say that it has eaten my bone, and I have to have an operation when my bone has to be scraped. It's called debriding. And they also said before that they said I had osteomyelitis through my whole body, but they gave me such huge, huge, huge courses of antibiotics that apparently that's gone, except they say that it's still living in this wound on my left leg and in the bone, and I have to have it scraped. And I would do that pretty soon. The only thing is I'm fairly short of money, and I have to try and find about $3,000 to have it done in a religious hospital, which is on the edge of the escarpment in Kajabi. That cost $3,000. The hospital I was at, the Aga Khan, they said it would have cost me about $175,000. So anyway, I'm looking for $3,000. If anyone out there can throw a few this way, that would be great.
We take this opportunity to ask all the friends and sannyasins who are listening, who are willing to support an old friend, old sannyasin, if they can chip in and whatever they can help. Hopefully, you know, they can reach out to you, and I will include your contact details in the show notes. And wish you all the best for your recovery.
Thanks. I used to work for the United Nations, and I started a whole project with alternative technology and built a whole center for them. And I took my chief there a few days ago, and I was amazed that it's vanished. It's just not there anymore. And I said, okay, I'm going to build one here. And I own a fair lump of land here between me and him. And I'm going to start a new alternative technology center specifically for Maasai. And I'm going to build it up and also raise funds for that. And so I'm not active in any way. I'm very active, and I want to do new things. And I'm 70 years old, so still got a way to go.
Well, that's extraordinary, and I'd love to hear more. What's your vision for this new center? When you say technology, what kind of techniques or technology or equipment are you planning to include?
Oh, very, 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 very simple things, and only ones that address their needs, like a bicycle-driven grinding mill for grain, you know, solar water heaters made out of corrugated iron roof sheets, windmills also made out of bamboo and corrugated iron for the propellers. Things like that, simple things.
Okay, amazing. And that would be to support the local community, I guess, as you mentioned, the Masabi people.
Their name is Maasai, not Masaibi, Maasai. And they're still quite very connected with the earth. They generally have a lot of cattle and sheep and goats, and they herd them. But then people like my chief, he's been to college, you know, he's quite well educated. He wears Western clothes, except sometimes I ask him to wear the red blankets that the Maasai like draping themselves with. They wear lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of beads that probably people will be familiar with. And we don't have video on anymore, but I'm wearing 3-4 Maasai beaded bracelets that I generally wear. And they're just very nice people, and I really like them.
Okay, great. And then obviously you live in this beautiful old colonial house near the national park in Nairobi. And in addition to this project, I think you also conduct safaris and wildlife tours. Would you like to mention something about that and talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I don't live in a colonial house. I live in a wooden cottage with a grass roof that I had built and I designed myself. It's very simple. I have one guest room, an office, my room, sitting room, and kitchen, dining room, all one room. And my guest room is upstairs in the attic. And what was the other question about wildlife?
Are you conducting tours? Do you take people on safaris?
Safaris. Yeah, I used to do that a lot. I professionally used to take safaris, not in buses and in minibuses, but in my safari Toyota Land Cruiser, which could seat 6 people. So I was limited usually to 6 people. And if necessary, I would hire another vehicle and a driver who'd bring other people. I used to have all my own camping equipment, and I'm a very good cook, so I used to do all the cooking myself. And we used to do really a lot, not just to Tsavo and Amboseli and Maasai Mara and Samburu, but up in the further north, I know quite a lot of the Samburu and Rendili people there, and we would actually go and stay in their villages and things like that. And we would help digging wells for them and making water pumps and windmills and things like that. So it all kind of went hand in hand.
Wonderful, wonderful. And do you still do that? Can people still come and enjoy this beautiful experience with you?
I can still do safaris, but I will not do them as rough as I used to. And also all my tents and things have been stolen. I can obviously get new ones, but I still take people, and I do take them to, usually we camp or stay in lodges, like in the Maasai Mara and Samburu. So I still do that, and I still can, but I wouldn't be doing any of the really major trips anymore, like to the Rendili and putting in windmills and things like that. Although a visit there might not be so bad. I just bought a Toyota Prado, which is four-wheel drive and much smaller and more appropriate for how the driving around here is these days. There's a lot of traffic, and it's quite a neat car. And I just did take my sister and her boyfriend up to Samburu. So what am I talking about? Yes, I can do that.
Fantastic. Okay, that's great. So anyone interested in alternative wildlife tours in Kenya, they can again contact you. Fantastic. Is there any other project or anything else you would like to add or mention?
Well, I'm also a professional photographer and videographer. So if people want to be involved in photographing or filming, I really understand and know about lighting and how to be in the best approach to animals and people, so that one is in the right place at the right time. So that's about all.
Okay. And in terms of photography, were you also a photographer at the time when you were sannyasing with Osho? Do you have any picture of Osho or of the sannyasins in the commune?
I do. I did a little bit of photography in Pune, but I was a photographer at the ranch in Oregon. I wasn't an official photographer, but I had permission to photograph, and I photographed, and they used some of my pictures as well.
And what are the pictures now? Have they been published, or are they available anywhere?
All these things are complicated. I have quite a few. Vihar publishes some things these days, but not so often. But I would have to search for them. I don't actually know where they all are. I do have a website which I can send you the address of. But it's mostly not of sannyasin pictures. It's mostly of tribal people and animals.
I see. Okay, no, it'd be great to, you know, put them together and make them available. I'm sure they are, especially if you took them unofficially. Sometimes the unofficial stuff is even more interesting than the official one.
The other thing is that I haven't put them on the web, because it's only just very, very recently that I have internet access here from my house. Before I didn't, and it was very costly and difficult for me to get up on the internet. So I haven't been putting lots of pictures up, but now things have changed. Maybe I can.
Wonderful. Yeah, I look forward to that. So, Oscar, I've got three final questions for you. The first one is, what's your morning routine? How does your morning look like in the first couple of hours of your day?
I get up. I'm usually woken by a cat scratching at my door. I have five very nice cats. So I get up and I feed them. I feed them, I give them milk, I go to the toilet, and then I usually come up this hill to see if I have any email. Recently, I've been doing a lot of reading, but otherwise I work on some of my photographs and edit them, and I go over and see the chief, and that's about all, actually.
So the second question is, what's your favorite meditation and why?
My favorite is almost certainly dynamic, mostly because I've guided so many people through it, and I really see how it works, how it has worked and helped people. I really like that.
The last question is, what's your relationship with Osho today in 2020?
Well, I think I pretty much live with him. I mean, he is through and through inside me, and there's hardly a minute in the day that I don't think of him. I think I'm out here. I came out here partly because of his guidance. He really encouraged me to find calm and clarity, and obviously look for enlightenment, but mostly just to be joyful. And because I now very happy to just be by myself, that brought me out here. I owned this land before. I've owned it for quite a long time, but I didn't live here. And I had an arrangement with some people who were looking after it, and they just left. And I only found out later that they'd gone. And I came out to check it out, and I saw this house was empty. I had the house built for my plans, but for them. And so I just moved in, and I stayed out here. And I thought I would only be here like on weekends, but I've just kept staying here. I really like it.
Okay. I mean, that's a huge, huge thing, to be able to be content with yourself and live on your own. It's a big gift from Osho.
Well, as I said, it's also a little bit dangerous, you know. I like people. Like, I like to see the chief, and I like to see other people, although I hardly have any friends left, but I enjoy seeing the chief. And I'm sometimes involved, even photographically, in his tribal ceremonies. I go to them, or I'll go as a photographer, or I just go as me, and I'm okay. I am a Maasai. I've been initiated in the tribe, so I can be there without any problem. And when I go to take photographs, I always ask their permission first. And I've lost the track again. But anyway, I like being here. I like being with the Maasai and being near to them.
That's really amazing, and sounds like you had quite an interesting life, and you're still very much full of energy and lots of projects, and it's very inspirational, especially considering what you've been through and how you live your life now. So I'm very grateful for your time, for being part of this Love Osho podcast. And I will again link all your contact details, email and website in the show notes. And if people want to get in touch with you and support you, that'd be amazing.
Oh, thank you so much. And lots and lots and lots and lots of love to you, and big hugs and love to everybody. Woof!
Okay, ciao.
Thank you for listening to the Love Osho podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, you can show your appreciation by leaving a review on iTunes. Visit loveosho.com for new episodes, blogs, and much more.